Whatever Next with Miles Jupp is next. First, next week, we'll be celebrating the...
Celebrating the 60th anniversary of the James Bond movies.
Individuals that have a larger brain are going to have more advanced cognition.
Through the twisted lens of the natural world.
The bite is holding on even though the head is detached from the body.
Loyal henchmen, scheming villains, and the man himself.
He presents himself as something more threatening than he actually is.
Imagine a 007 film with a cast of animals and insects.
Fireflies are one of the most well-studied example of a true sort of Bond femme fatale.
Wild Bond with me, Emily Knight, on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds. Next Monday to Friday at 1:45.
Now on Radio 4 Comedy, as Miles Jupp stars as Miles Jupp in a sketch show that takes a sideways, he made me say it, look at the ups and downs of being Miles Jupp. Whatever Next.
Hello, I'm Miles Jupp. Whatever Next. In the next half hour, is rain getting wetter? Janet Jackson thinks so, but is she right? We continue our search for Britain's most anxious milkman. And it's 36 years since Phantom of the Opera opened in London. Former Newcastle United defender Jonathan Woodgate pops by to say he's never actually seen it, but do we need anything from the shops? All this and much more like it on the show that wakes at 4 in the morning crying out, whatever next? Hello, welcome once more to Whatever Next, Radio 4's answer to the question. Now, the business of life coaching is becoming big business, but what's it all about? With me right now in the surprisingly close atmosphere of the Whatever Next studio, it feels a bit like being inside a tubular sports sock, is my guest, David Awayde. David, you're a professional life coach.
That's right.
Despite at the same time serving a life sentence.
That's right. For murder, of all things.
Forgive me for asking then, but how does your life coaching work?
Well, basically, I get in touch with people and say, if you don't sort your life out, I'll murder you.
A typical situation there, illustrating this week's Whatever Next appeal. The campaign to help people trapped in unpromising sketches.
Sorry?
Each week, hundreds of people find themselves trapped in unpromising sketches on this programme alone. Sometimes they may be attracted by a superficially appealing premise or a couple of funny lines, only to find themselves irretrievably stuck in an unpromising sketch with no hope of rescue.
Is this part of the show?
For some, it can be an isolated misfortune. Others can find themselves stuck in a vicious cycle of unpromising sketches, known to experts as a series.
Should I go?
But you can help. Simply by putting pen to paper, you can reassure these people that they are not alone. One suffering actress shares with us her story.
The whole thing seemed fine on the surface. It was a sketch where I was a woman with matches for hands, interviewing for a job running a petrol and fireworks factory. Funny idea, but when the thing started, it had nowhere to go.
Maureen, her name's been changed for legal reasons, from Esther, found herself sinking deeper and deeper into the sketch with an eventual weak punchline, the only prospect of escape. There will always be unpromising sketches, but we don't have to sit through them alone. Your letters and a sizable cash donation made out to me, Miles Jupp, will make all the difference. Thank you. Now then, if, like me, you're having one of those weeks, you know, one where nothing goes right, one where you keep getting up at 5 in the morning to stare at more 4+1 with the sound off, wondering when it is that you'll kill again. Anyway, if you're having one of those weeks, there is a new album I can recommend. Very relaxing, just a professional actor reading out a list of things that we somehow accept in everyday life, despite them being utterly ridiculous, over a backdrop of relaxing marimba. Heaven.
Self-service checkouts. The spelling of the Oxfordshire town of Bicester. The name Coldplay. TheTrainline.com. Racism. Argos. The essential tragedy of the human condition. The beautiful South. The sandwich shop Benugo. People writing articles of any kind in The Guardian. Poverty. Very wet ham.
There's another 36 hours of that. Now, looking forward to tonight's front row, never put those words in that order before, I'll be on hand to present a tribute to one of Britain's greatest living playwrights, now long dead.
Phew.
Few writers have authentically captured the voice of working-class Britain in the opinion of middle-class people who write for The Guardian better than Brenda Munby. From the moment her first play, My Horrible Life, landed on the desk of National Royal National Theatre director Clement Davros, way back in the year 1970 Thatcher, her path to success was assured.
From the moment I started reading My Horrible Life, I realised I was in the presence of an incredible talent, and that talent was, of course, myself.
Brenda Munby based the play on her own life, growing up on the notorious Hacksaw Estate.
Well, the Hacksaw Estate was central to Brenda, and so it was central to anyone who worked with her. I myself got to know it very well during the 15 minutes I spent being driven through it in a taxi for an interview with Alan Yentob.
In rehearsals, the down-to-earth and sometimes painfully honest Brenda formed a powerful bond with the actors interpreting her words, such as Yasmin Oliphant Flapjack.
I remember talking to Brenda about the time she was stabbed in the arm by her own father while trying to stop him from burning their flat down during an argument about her own teenage pregnancy. And while it didn't precisely parallel my own experiences as a boarder at Rodine emotionally, it was exactly the same.
Actress Cressida Green.
I used to listen to her speak a lot to try and get the voice right. You know, she'd say, oh, Cressida, I can't afford to eat. Please, can you buy me some lunch? And I'd say, wonderful, Brenda, could you give me that again? And we'd just both repeat it and repeat it and repeat it until we were perfect. Of course, by that time, lunch had generally been and gone.
Brenda Munby's second play drew on her new experiences in the world of theatre under the provocative title, Is That All You Get for Writing a Play?
I think the greatest dramatists pose questions that we all struggle to answer, and Is That All You Get for Writing a Play is absolutely one of those questions.
The theme of financial hardship was one Brenda Munby would return to in her next few plays. I'm Starving Here, How Do You Expect Me to Pay the Phone Bill, and It's All Right for You, Independently Wealthy Upper Middle Class Bastards.
It was hard to understand exactly what Brenda wanted. Oh, it's easy, in retrospect, to look back and say money, but it seemed a lot less clear at the time.
Brenda Munby had one final card to play, her late-period masterpiece, If Nothing Changes, I'll Be Dead in 6 months. 6 months later, she was dead.
Brenda's death came completely out of nowhere, if only there'd been some sort of sign. I mean, I could maybe have done something. But at the same time, do we really need people like her when we already have David Hare?
Just time now for our ever-popular celebrity spotting feature, where we ask you to send in details of celebrities you've spotted, generally from behind a protective piece of Perspex or discreet wattle and daub hide. Jean from Aberdeen saw former England and Spurs footballer Darren Anderton walking into an upper crust at Heathrow Terminal 5 and shouting, "My usual, please, landlord." Milton Keynes from Leighton Buzzard saw poet laureate Simon Armitage in the Big Asda pushing a very full trolley containing only eggs. "You can never have too many," he apparently loudly claimed. Well, dare one say, I imagine time will tell. And Leighton Buzzard from Milton Keynes saw former triple jump medalist Jonathan Edwards trying his hand at falconry at Powys Castle. Absolute natural, apparently, although staff have been pleading with him to try it while wearing the gloves. Quite horrific. Now, in the course of the past week, everyone's been talking to me about my new agent, saying things like, "Your agent is in fact a convicted criminal that you have misspoken for some important profession."
Well, I'm afraid it sounds like we've lost contact with Miles Jupp in the Whatever Next studio for the moment. In the meantime, we have yet another chance to listen to this week's edition of Stockpot Across the Carpet, presented by Miles Jupp.
Good morning, I'm Miles Jupp, and this is Stockpot Across the Carpet, the programme in which we welcome a prominent public figure and ask them to reflect upon their life and times, as if those life and times were the contents of a bubbling stockpot that they have dropped, spilt, or thrown, possibly accidentally, perhaps in anger, across an expanse of carpet. So, pretty self-explanatory. My stockpot dropper this week is the MP, parliamentarian, politician, democratically elected representative and MP, Polycraddock MP.
Good morning.
Well, let's link arms and hurl ourselves screaming into the furious volcano that is this fusion of biographical discussion and slow cookery. So, first of all, Polycraddock MP, how do you think that you might have dropped your stockpot?
Sorry.
Perhaps overwhelmed by its weight or scalded by its highly conductive handle. I can't help noticing, Polycraddock MP, you're not wearing oven gloves. Perhaps that was your first mistake.
I've dropped a stockpot.
Have you had a chance to look at the briefing pack, Polycraddock?
I haven't, no.
You haven't, no. Well, not the first. We'll take that part of the programme as read and plough on. Now, Polycraddock MP, you've opted for a classic stainless steel stockpot.
Have I?
what it says here?
I think someone in my office will have just filled in a form.
Well, whichever hard-working member of your team it was, they have made an excellent choice. Your Labour colleague Yvette Cooper also went for a stainless steel stockpot. Baroness Morgan, a Moroccan tagine, and Ed Davey, the somewhat left-field choice of his own cupped hands.
Yes, I'm sorry. I don't actually have much to say about stockpots.
Oh, don't worry. It's not really what the programme's about. It's just a metaphorical prism through which to view your career.
Oh, I see.
But the whole stockpot thing, it's just to have something to put in the Radio Times. Did you know they still make the Radio Times?
I didn't, no.
Well, you're welcome. So tell me, Polycratic MP, when did you first realise that you wanted to get involved in politics?
Well, I grew up in the small town of Frimsby, St. Massacus, where I still live, and whose constituents I'm very proud to represent. And we never felt growing up that we had opportunities or were encouraged to think in terms of hopes and aspirations. But despite that, I did have hopes and aspirations.
The onions.
What?
Would you say that, in a sense, your hopes and aspirations were the onions in the stockpot?
I'm not sure.
It just helps the programme, Polly.
Is that...
Just for the edit, Polly.
My hopes and aspirations were the onions.
Well, let's pop them into the stock pot. Obviously, that's not an actual stock pot. It's just a sound effect.
Yes.
This is the actual stock pot. Well, we'll just leave that to start reducing down for a while.
OK, so
Just a bit of hush now, Polly. Nice to be alone with our thoughts sometimes, isn't it?
Good news. The technical issue in the Whatever Next studio has been identified, sanitised and scraped up in its entirety. Spare clothes have been found and Miles is now ready to resume.
Drawn on his face in permanent marker and we told him it was a shamrock. We're back. Oh, good. Very grateful for these new clothes. I don't think Emma Barnett and I are quite the same size, but needs must. Right, what's next? I don't want to hurry you, audience, but I will need to be done by 7 so I can review the papers on News 24.
So, this is just a pre-briefing. We'll be coming to you just before the top of the hour. Sorry, do you always sit like that?
Like what?
Nothing.
What is it you're after from me?
You're reviewing the papers.
Ah, yeah, reviewing the papers. Well, I can tell you right away. This one, fine in its own way, but to be honest, not for me. This one's ideal if you think those sorts of things, but frankly, who does? And if you came across one, you'd avoid them. This one is just awful.
Yes.
I mean, I can't imagine any of that's changed much in the last 100 years.
No, but when we review the papers, what we normally do is read bits out of them.
Oh, I see, sort of like talking books for the blind. Well, it should only take me a few hours to get through each one. Longer for The Observer, obviously, because I will keep passing out.
No, don't just read them aloud.
Oh, instructions. Such a lot to remember.
Are you sure you usually sit like that?
It's supposed to be good for my posture.
What we'd like you to do is give some opinions. So, I mean, this story here. Fresh concerns over Northern Irish Protocol.
It's not something I have strong feelings about.
That's fine. In situations where no other opinion is available, we advise people to either talk about gammons or woke snowflakes.
Gammons.
Or woke snowflakes. We've discovered that when people are reviewing the papers, those are the only two opinions you actually need. Anything else seems to cloud the issue for the audience.
Oh, right, because what I was going to say was that I don't pretend to have all the answers, but when you think about it, our place in the universe as individuals, even as a society, we're all like individual grains of sand, and you could spend your whole life desperately striving to become the biggest grain of sand on the beach, but even if you managed it, unlikely as that might seem, you'd still just be a single grain of sand. So wouldn't it be a more sensible use of your time to focus on enjoying the shape of the particular grain of sand you are, to take pleasure in the other grains of sand that surround you and the sensation of the currents of wind that move you and the other grains of sand around? And then I guess I'd follow that up with a series of general remarks about Tolstoy. Why are you looking at me like that?
You're going to sit like that on the show.
I was going to. I mean, I can do it unaided. I don't really need the stirrups.
Unenforced parking regulations. Syrups for coffees. ITV4. The Internet.
Just time for a look ahead to what's on Radio 4 Extra this evening. At 8 p.m, there's classic sitcom Laughs Aplenty in Down by the Crossroads, in which the much-missed actress and archery target Beatrice Cockatrice plays a woman who lives next to a crossroads and is herself at a crossroads in her life, while at the same time running a business exporting crucifixes to a very specific Greek island and having recently sold her soul to the devil. After that, it's vintage panel show time with a festive edition of You Keep Them Talking, I'll Get the Police, that evergreen favourite where a panel of celebrities take it in turns to specify what they would do should they find themselves in a real-life crime scene, cast in the role of have-a-go hero. Eleanor Bron explains how she would have foiled the Brinksmat robbery, Peter Lilly makes surprisingly short work of the gunpowder plot, and Aka Bilk unexpectedly sides with the Symbionese Liberation Army over the kidnapping of Patty Hearst. In the chair is a reliably foul-mouthed Cardinal Basil Hume. Eat your heart out, Dave. Showbiz gossip now, and shooting continues on Russell T Davies' new series of Doctor Who. Hugely looking forward to it. Big fan. I was up for the part and didn't get it. But still wish everyone involved all the best with the project and hope that they ultimately experience a drawn-out and painful death.
Hello. Glad you could make it.
Yeah, no worries. Russell, isn't it? Right, well, before we get started, I just want to say, look, don't be nervous. I know these auditions can be intimidating, but...
OK.
I just want you to know that your nerves are not going to determine whether I take the part or not.
Thanks for letting me know that, Miles.
Well, least I can do.
So, are you familiar with Doctor Who?
Absolutely. Yeah, very big fan. I've seen several of the films, and I have brought some of my own props along, actually.
Oh, the sonic screwdriver.
Oh, good guess. No, this is a rectal thermometer.
You didn't need to bring in props.
Oh, it's no problem. It's just stuff I had cluttering up the kitchen. Pop it in a bin if you don't want it. I'm certainly not taking it home. Now, a few questions. I had a quick look at the script while someone was adjusting my sun lounger for me, and the whole phone box thing, if I'm going to be spending a lot of time in there, I get a bit claustrophobic. So I had an idea. It might be a bit radical. What do you think about this? Could we make it bigger on the inside than on the outside?
It is bigger on the inside than the outside.
That is what I like about you, it turns out, Russell T Davies. I say something, voila, it is done. No questions, no messing.
I mean, it's always been bigger on the inside than the outside. That's part of Doctor Who.
Oh, right, yeah. Doctor Who. Yeah. Should it be Doctor Whom?
What?
Whom. Doctor Whoever. I mean, you've probably checked this. If not, I can give you Susie Dent's email. She'll set your mind at rest. Or ignore you, but, you know, some of
no, that's very kind of you.
And, the scripts and all that. I will probably leave those to you. I can't really be bothered with piddling details. One thing I would ask. I do not want anything at all to do with time travel.
Oh, dear, why's that?
Well, it's just all bullshit, isn't it?
Fair point.
Oh, sorry, I was just remembering something that happened in an episode of Round the Horn. I hope you're enjoying the show so far. Don't forget, if you'd like to listen to it again, you can pop onto BBC Sounds and afterwards discuss what that experience was like with the therapist of your choice.
So, Miles, you're looking... How has the week been?
Well, on Monday, things were looking wobbly in Westminster, but by Wednesday, that had all been forgotten, as Vladimir Putin was up to his old tricks again.
Yes, sorry, Miles, I meant in terms of your psychological state.
Right, is that not a bit personal? I was thinking more in terms of a sort of topical roundup, like you might get on Andrew Marr.
I can see that's what's happened. But what about your actual week?
Well, I've been quite quiet. Just sort of generally laid back. Maybe two or three outbreaks of eye-popping psychotic rage, followed by bouts of almost homicidal self-disgust. And I found I get quite bored in mid-morning. But I think that might be sorted by drinking less at breakfast.
Yes, this is all very interesting. I just want to go back, if we can, to the outbreaks of eye-popping psychotic rage.
Yeah, I try to skip over those because I knew you'd get hung up on them. I almost didn't mention them for precisely that reason.
Looking back, do you know what might have caused them?
Well, it's the usual sort of thing.
And what is that?
Just, you know, people discussing line of duty.
You don't like line of duty?
Got no problem with it. If they wanted to offer me a part, happily take it. Should the opportunity to state as much on Radio 4 arrive, I would honestly do so without hesitation.
But you don't like people discussing it?
It's entirely up to them. I don't see any reason why they shouldn't.
I'm struggling to unpack what's going on here.
It's when they call it In the Line of Duty. Oh, I was watching In the Line of Duty last night. Oh, have you seen In the Line of Duty? Oh, I've just had major abdominal surgery. They told me to rest up for the next 4 weeks to stop my stomach bursting at the bottom like a wet paper bag. Oh, that sounds annoying. It's not a problem. I'll sit at home and watch a box set of In the Line of Duty.
Is it not called that?
Oh, God, no, it's not called that. Why can't they get it right? It was three words. They've made it five. They've made it more complicated. Line of duty. In the line of duty. Then that's all you can hear. In the line of duty. In the line of duty. In. What happened there?
You've just torn one of the arms off my sofa.
Oh. Do you want it? I'll tell you what, I'll just pop it over here. In the line of duty. I mean, do you remember the thick of it? People used to call it in the thick of it. That wasn't what it was called. People used to say, oh, I saw so-and-so in the thick of it, going out of their way to say in twice. Stop adding in to things.
I'm wondering whether this focus on the correct name of line of duty is in some ways a way for you to avoid thinking about your other problems.
I only have one problem. What do you think it's like for me going around all day with this in my ears, like tinnitus? Oh, God, tinnitus contains the word in. Oh, that has done it. That has done... That might have tipped me over the edge. You know what's going to happen now? 2 a.m. tomorrow morning, I'm going to be on top of a multi-storey car park in Shifnal, stark naked, staring out of the night and wondering what sort of person actually sends a message to the Sunday Times You Say column.
I mean, put like that, I do try not to be judgmental, but the whole thing sounds completely insane.
Sane, you mean? Just added an unnecessary in.
Admin fees, the sheer number of reusable water bottles, all hand dryers, Surrey, capers.
Well, that was fun. I don't know if you have any plans for the weekend. I'm looking forward to sitting in the back garden with a colander on my head, seeing how hard I have to hit it with a wooden spoon in order to drive the whole wretched thing into my skull. And if you're after something only mildly less fun than that, you can check out my appearance on the new podcast, What's Your Favourite Roast Dinner, with comedian Sean Walsh.
What's Your Favourite Roast Dinner? The podcast about what is your favourite roast dinner.
Hello, I'm Sean Walsh, back with you for another edition of What's Your Favourite Roast Dinner? The podcast that each week asks a famous comedian what their favourite roast dinner is and nothing else. This week, we're joined by Miles Jupp.
Hello, Sean. Very pleased to be joining you today. Big fan, of course.
No banter.
Sorry?
There's no banter on this podcast, Miles. If you check the email confirming your booking, you'll notice it specifies no banter, no pleasantries, no idle chit-chat, and no male bonding at all.
Right, I mean, I don't really know what a podcast is if it doesn't contain any
information. It's simply about information. Hard facts communicated as straightforwardly as possible. Miles Jupp, what is your favourite roast dinner?
Well, there's a lot of roast options.
I'm going to have to Miles. Talking around the subject does fall into the broad category of banter.
Oh, sorry. Yes, I'm sorry, Sean. You are, of course, quite right.
One word answer, please.
Pork.
Let's have a word from our sponsor.
Have you tried
alcohol?
Nothing makes a social occasion go better than
alcohol.
Try it. You'll find you love the refreshing taste of
alcohol.
Tell all your friends about
alcohol. Alcohol. Alcohol.
You're back with us here on What's Your Favourite Roast Dinner. Miles Jupp is still with us.
I very much am, and eager as ever to talk about this.
You've done your bit, mate. Keep quiet. Time to check on the messages you've been sending in to the What Is Your Favourite Roast Dinner postbag.
Why don't you call it the Roast Bag? That would be sort of quite an amusing title, wouldn't it? Quite often.
What's the point? Tim.Onan says pork. Glenn125 says pork. BarbaraXXX says pork. Dominus Alpha says pork. Brian Ryan Iron says pork. And Genevieve Bazonga says, following the Iraq war, I would trust the Russian intelligence services more than I would trust our own.
It's interesting she says that because actually I went to a wedding in St. Petersburg once with...
No anecdotes, not on this podcast.
Waste paper baskets. A big microphone. My orange hat.
Now, it may be hard to believe, but this week marks an incredible 3 weeks since the very first transmission of Whatever Next, exactly 3 weeks ago. Well, as a way of filling in the agonisingly long breaks between shows and staving off that gnawing sense of our lives being wasted, we here at Whatever Next have been preparing a special documentary, 3 weeks of Whatever Next. Here's a sneak preview of what's in store. Every week, Miles Jupp presents Whatever Next on Radio 4 to an estimated audience of almost many. It may be hard to believe, but this week marks an incredible three. The show has become nothing less than a broadcasting institution, broadcasting each week from Broadcasting House, a broadcasting institution. When Whatever Next first hit the airwaves an incredible 21 days ago, the world was a very different place. Listening to it from the start was a young Giles Brandreth.
As a boy, Whatever Next was something you'd look forward to. Father would come home from a long day working in social media, give his hands a big rubbing with Swarfega, change into his early evening corduroys, and then we'd all gather round his iPhone X as he synced it with the Bluetooth speaker, and away we went.
Back then, the host of Whatever Next was a young Miles Jupp, and the humour could be a little more near the knuckle than what we're used to today. And later in the programme, a rundown of 10 things that are wrong with Italians, followed by a special feature on women and what could possibly be done about them.
Miles Jupp. We never could work out why they gave him the job. He wasn't much of a broadcaster. When we heard he'd been killed in the war, I have to say, we all cheered.
The premature passing of Miles Jupp left a vacancy in the host's chair, one that would be ably filled by new host Miles Jupp. The Radio 4 controller at the time was Brian Shoes.
Obviously we had a hole and we needed to fill it. Someone suggested Miles Jupp. My first reaction was to say, absolutely not, God, no, over my dead body. Then we talked about it a bit more. Someone said he'd been to the right school. I thought, well, let's give it a go.
I was aware from the start that they were big shoes to fill. They'd been left under the mixing desk. Turns out they belonged to Libby Purvis. Colossal. I don't know what's going on there, but it'd be a dull world if we were all the same.
Obviously, once you have a success like Whatever Next on your hands, the jackals start circling.
Veteran Whatever Next producer Janet Absinthe remembers her literal days on the programme.
There was talk of a move to TV, which the BBC bosses abandoned once they discovered what Miles looked like.
One fondly remembered feature of the programme was the Whatever Next garden, a mainstay of the show until it was destroyed by a vindictive Monty Don. But the garden has left a problematic legacy. Janet Absinthe.
When we abandoned the garden, we forgot, of course, that in week two, we buried the time capsule there. Looking back, it was probably a mistake to have included in the time capsule, along with a collection of coins and a copy of that week's Beano, a rather large quantity of radioactive uranium.
Miles Jupp's tenure is still fondly remembered, despite the flood of subsequent allegations, mainly about his behaviour in the canteen, including but not limited to an enthusiastic use of the carbonated drinks refill system that was tantamount to fraud. Brian Shoes.
Well, we're very sorry to lose Miles. I think it was in Debenhams on a busy Saturday, but his departure led to a complete change of direction under the new host, Miles Jupp.
We tried lots of exciting new things. People have responded very well to our special shows, like the one that was guest-edited by Britain's Most Dangerous Prisoner.
To be honest, being on Whatever Next was a greater honour than any of my six life sentences. It's always been a very popular show in the prison community. There's a saying on D-Wing, if you're in a Whatever Next, or you want trouble, or you are trouble.
With Miles Jupp at the helm, Whatever Next seems set for a long future. Who knows? We could well be meeting up again to discuss it in another 3 weeks. Charles Brandreth remains a firm fan.
I don't listen to it anymore, but that's okay. It's not for me. It's not really for anyone. I have heard the SAS use recordings of it to break people. So, to that extent, I'm glad it's doing some good.
I just feel like I'm minding the shop, really, until, like everything else on Radio 4, it eventually comes to an end, 20 years after it should have. Whatever Next was hosted by me, Miles Jupp. Not all the voices were mine. Others belonged to Julia Davis, Justin Edwards, Philip Fox, Jocelyn G. Essien, Dominic Moore, Vicky Pepperdine, Kyle Smith-Bino, Diana Speed and Sean Walsh, and have since been returned to their owners. The creative typing was done by James Kettle and myself, thankfully script edited by Graham Garden, and literally produced by Victoria Lloyd. Some bystanders described fearing it was a random production for BBC Radio 4.
Noisy extractor fans. People who think George Harrison was the best Beatle. Children. The Radio 4 programme, Whatever Next. Chipotle.
Miles will be back at the same time next week. And if you missed the previous two episodes or you'd like to hear the one